Hello, this is Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
And David Love.
Lovely to have you on our show. And today we're going to be talking about awakening, and we've got a special guest with us.
We have Douglas Newsom. He's the CEO of this network, BBS Radio Network, and we're really excited to have him to talk about his experiences with the spiritual community and the networking he's done within it and the connections he's made. He's been a very big influence in the spiritual community and bringing about the global transformation, and we're really lucky to have him here today to share with us.
Doug has 24 years experience in corporate business development, and he's a very creative, entrepreneurial person who has actually been able to create, start up, and manage a whole dozens of companies through his career. And we're very grateful that he has set up BBS Network, which is really important in the spiritual community.
Yeah, that's right. Myself, I met Doug many years ago, at least 3 years ago, when I started, after I started doing traditional small radio talk radio shows, I began doing the internet talk radio circuit, and I connected with figures like Alexander Medras of Galactic Connection, Jonah Bolt of the Starseed Society and Starseed Radio Network, and Dr. Guij Bing, and Michelle Meesh, and many others. It's been a really exciting journey for me to meet all of these people, and all of this was Doug was instrumental in me making all of these connections. Doug, why don't you come in and introduce yourself to us?
Well, hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, David. Hi, Lana. How are you both?
Great. Great.
We're feeling really good.
Good.
This is very exciting, having you talk on your own radio show.
I know.
It takes a dedication. Believe me, I know. I probably don't have it. That's why I don't have, I always find myself in the background, and that's good. I actually did have a radio show for a short period of time, but unless you really, develop it or take it into different ways and explore with it and have fun with it, for me it was just, I couldn't bring anything new to the table. Because I'd done it for maybe, 15, 20 shows, but I never really had a co-host, or I didn't have a preparation time, or I didn't really have, the whole idea of what, the conversation could be about. So, that sort of dedication can probably make it more rewarding and more meaningful for sure.
Well, as we know, everybody has different functions in life, and those functions can change. And I think it's fantastic that you can actually put together a network like this. But I guess we wanted to talk to you about your own spiritual experiences, because that's what we do, that's what we talk about, that's what this radio show is about.
That's
and
great.
I was very excited to find out that you had your own awakening a few years ago. We were hoping that you could tell us a bit about that.
Right. We were interested in hearing about your Kundalini experiences and how that brought you to where you are now, and how you've made all of these great connections in the spiritual community in the background, and how you played a role, as Lana was talking about, the dedication that you played in this, in the global transformation.
And I guess before you tell us about your Kundalini experience awakening, I guess I'd like to also say that we'll be talking about awakening in more depth later on in the show or on other shows, because obviously there is different types of awakenings. And there's subjective and objective awakenings. And I guess most people that listen to this show, which is called Universal Soul Love, would be awakened to the possibility that we are much more than we originally thought we were. But in terms of actually experiencing it, having an amazing, almost physical and spiritual experience, that's something that perhaps not everyone has had. Doug, tell us about when you had your awakening.
I've had, in some cases, my life's been just work. 100 hours a work week is not a big deal to me. I'm used to that. I've been used to that since I was a boy. But the work I did, building companies and ranging capital, I did for you know, a lot of companies, but ultimately, you know, it took me to a point where a lot of people get, where you question who you are or your purpose in life. You might feel a hole in your heart or emptiness into what you're, you know, should you be doing something else? You find yourself in those positions. Well, I did, but I had gone through a lot of pain where I needed to forgive a lot of events and a lot of people in a very big way. Think of the movie Wall Street on steroids, and at every turn getting, it's just too impossible to describe. So I hit low, a very low point in my life. And I needed to get away from the world as I knew it and haul myself up.
Hmm? It's interesting that you say that, Doug, because I think a lot of people have their awakening following pain.
Right. Yeah. They do. Same. But there was an honest desire for me to go beyond that and feel comfort in the idea of forgiving. And it just so happened that I picked up a book. And it, everybody has a different catalyst. It took two catalysts for me.
Yeah.
Outside of actually meditating, which was, I think, and your intention on what you're meditating is, and the results that you want, you know, that's not just opening up. Sometimes it's a centering down meditation, but those moments made me, you know, haul up in a little place, four walls, my little dog, nothing in the world around me, and I found myself meditating for easily an hour, sometimes 2 hours at a shot, and things started to. Yeah, I picked up a book, which was a catalyst as well. It really made me start thinking about my meditations in a little different way. But it was called The Disappearance of the Universe. Magnificent book. You know, it kind of, first time I'd read spiritual material before, let alone resonate to so much of the information. I wasn't one of those guys who liked to read because most of what I read I didn't want to read. Didn't want to read about war. That's what they teach you in school. And, you know, things like that. So I found myself not an avid reader. I'm not the guy who goes out and reads the biography of Hillary Clinton. You know, I just... I didn't find myself reading. I was working a lot. But I picked this book up, and every time I read a page, it impacted me. It impacted me deeply. Of course, as I was going through this meditation, the words were even, you know, impacting me more. And that process of forgiving, really, and opening up and connecting, you know, because it's breathing in the world's love and breathing out the love, you just gave it back into the world, kind of. It's, you know, that sort of an exercise. Mm-hmm. And that led to a time where I spoke to a lady by the name of Eva Herr. She's actually a host on the network, has been since we opened up the network. Mm-hmm. Wow. And she gave me an hour conversation. I'll never forget it. It's the first time I had to say, stop. I can't process all this. I knew it was all getting processed, but my brain felt like I had a blender on inside and everything was turning too fast. And I couldn't understand, you know, it was just overwhelming. Because I knew it was significant and it was so much. And she hit me all at once. That the next day when I was stepping out of my shower, blam. You know, I was actually can remember the position I was in with the towel, you know, my one hand pulling down one part of the towel through my hair and the other kind of upwards across my back. And when that moment hit, I mean, it's not really there's really no, I don't know what you call it. It's not really a moment. It's an envelopment. You're out of a period of time. So much occurs, it's hard to express it all in words because it's just the blink of an eye. But in those minutes, I knew, just like everybody knows, you're walking on two legs. Well, if I gave you two heads, you'd have two heads. Well, I know that everything's connected, just like I have my appendages. Most people kind of don't, you know, they wouldn't relate to that information in that way because nobody's connected them to everything in that way. So
you felt connected to the universe?
Right, right, everything.
The Kundalini experience?
Right, it connects you and instantly enables you the ability to forgive yourself because you're at such a high level. You look at yourself and everything around you with amusing eyes, believe me, higher intelligence, and you'll review every moment of your life in an instant. That's what happened to me. It just bloomed, and I knew that every event was insignificant, yet significant in a different way. At a higher level, you forgive it all. You can release it all. And that level of real releasing leads to internal points of ecstasies that can just drive you higher into that expression. Parts of it.
Essential to universal love, to experiencing that universal love, I think.
It's certainly what they say. Can I ask you, Doug, in terms of the issue of forgiveness, did it hit you first and then you could forgive, or did you reach the point of forgiveness and then the experience hit you?
Good point.
I meditated prior on a forgiving every day. I went back through my life and I remembered significant points, and I can remember forgiving each of those, the individual and the event. I can remember doing that. I can remember.
So you went through the process of reflection and your
meditation. Right, that wasn't in my Kundalini. My Kundalini, it just took all those. You'll know. It just happens all at once.
You went within and had your reflective thinking and your introspective self-examination.
At one point, it was like I was. Imagine being in a cloud of just energy, and you've got vampiric senses in every direction, but you have no body, and everything around you is energy, and that's your reflective moment. Okay, I felt almost like in a whole different. I wasn't just gone, like everything around me was different. I remained there kind of for a second before it was just instantly my mind started traversing through understanding of just being connected. Now I knew I was connected. I could say I could know my the value of the human person much so, you know. Before, now you don't hurt a person because that person's actually connected to you.
Have collective consciousness, we're integrated, although we seem separate. That's the duality, the illusion of duality, that we're separate when we're really equal in one.
Right. And you know that. And you know that.
Yeah. And very difficult to grasp that concept until you've really experienced
it. It's liberating. Imagine an aha moment, but aha to the depth of your knowledge. And let's give you 20 or 30 pieces of knowledge all at once that just liberate you. And that liberation generates more emotion, I'm sure, but in that time it just happens all at once. And then you step out of that, then all your emotions really, you start, I cried, screamed, raised my hands up in jubilee. It was like the finger of God just came down. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to run around like a little madman. I just couldn't believe it.
But now the important point is that you felt pain for a long time, as I did myself, as a going through my in my profession as an investigator, experiencing human nature and negativity with my cases and my clients. And I decided I needed to find belief systems to manage and cope with that negativity and the darkness that I was beginning to see within myself. And so I did that meditation, I believe, as you did. And I was a seeker. I became a seeker of knowledge, and had to go within to do that. And it was a process, and it was work, and it was effort. And it was something that I really wanted, because I wanted to find deeper meaning and I wanted to experience the love of the universe. And so before I hit that realization, and it was interesting the way I did it, I discovered a past life partner, and she spent a significant amount of time, her and her friends, other soulmates, teaching me about oneness and connectedness. And it blew my mind. It was a year-long process, and it's still going on, where I connected with higher intelligences, my higher power and the divine feminine essence and my own higher power. And it was the result of that meditation, that routine over so many years, 3 years, and expressing myself through my writing and through my books and through article marketing before I finally got to that point that you did. So this wasn't just something that hit me. I didn't do it through... there wasn't some special technique. It was really just doing it and seeking it out. And I think that's what you're saying, aren't you?
For me, I think there's a process. You're almost like going to school. In a way, you've got a ready or have got, had certain experiences, so those experiences can maybe open up in the way your mind is. If you don't go to school, if you don't go to class, you know, you yourself aren't going to show up. So to be honest, I believe it's with the intention, and of course, going inwardly with meditating. And maybe there are certain techniques that are better than others. I just know the techniques that I used.
Sure, works for you.
Which works for you, but it's probably everybody has their own bridge, and that bridge works. It's like everybody can go to a classroom. All you have to do is step in, but yes, you do have to spend time there with intention. And then things start to happen.
That's right, you have to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I think it's true to say that for every individual, the experience can be different. What I'm hearing is that for you, Doug, it was an amazing aha experience in the shower. My God, you'll probably never look at a shower in the same way again.
Actually, I was outside of the shower, towel drying.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't even in the shower. That's the weird. That was nice, I think. But it might have been the way I was bent over somehow.
That's symbolic.
Yeah, and then and it you would say, how does it start? Really, it's like a giant golden beam going from your head up through the roof, down your head, down the back of your spine, out through the floor, and then it just immediately starts to grow into a golden ball, and then you're gone.
Wow.
I mean, it's kind of hits you with light, and the light grabs you, and then it takes you somewhere else.
Wow, I'm quite envious, actually, because I mean, I think we all would love the sort of the fireworks and all experience. Yeah. But I don't know that everyone has that. No, David, had a more gradual.
I didn't have experience. The experience that you're describing, Doug. I mean, mine was. I think we all have a journey from birth to death, but our personal experiences that bring us to illumination or to enlightenment. But for me, I guess it was gradual, but. You know, the experience I've had in the past year was very intense and very unusual, and I've had several out-of-body experiences in my life, and I've seen things that I can't explain or barely describe. I have just tried to describe them in articles. But for me, I didn't have that lightning experience, I don't think, but I did have some very intense, unusual experiences. So that was my awakening, which was different from yours. So I'm sure that everybody finds their truths in a different way, but... I guess all paths lead to Rome eventually.
I think that's true. I haven't had an out-of-body experience either, but I guess I've sort of always been, I guess, somewhat awakened, somewhat aware of the fact that we're all connected. I recently had an interesting experience, which was, I guess, subtle. I guess I had been reading up and wanting to achieve an out-of-body experience, which I still haven't had, but wanting to achieve more of a sense of oneness. And I actually had a gradual experience, which I think I'll never forget, where that sense of oneness with the universe was greater than ever before. And I actually feel like either I lost myself or I gained the whole world. I actually feel like there was no difference between me and various objects around me in the room. It was quite amazingly freeing. But once again, no fireworks, just subtle.
That's nice.
I guess it's the knowledge that the result of your accumulated experiences or that single experience that really counts, that brings you to that point of spiritual understanding and insight where you really connect with others and feel that empathy and compassion for humanity. And it's really that empathy that brings you that higher knowledge. I guess it's all sort of... that's what integrates us.
I have certainly heard of people that who don't actually meditate, or they don't actually consciously try to follow the path. For example, people that had near-death experiences, that car accidents and things like that,
right.
Where they've actually not thought about it, but it's just so jarring. It's
sure.
All of a sudden, it opens up for them. I remember one. There was a professor. He was a professor of, mathematics, and it sounded like he wasn't particularly spiritual beforehand, quite academic, And he went to Thailand with his wife, and the bus of tourists were unfortunately attacked by, some people came and sold them various sweets that were spiked. So it was a whole sort of racket to try to get money off the tourists. And he actually died. His heart stopped from drugs. And so he got taken to the nearest hospital, which was apparently a very dingy hospital. And he awoke in his room. They managed to start his heart up again. And surrounding him was the dingy walls of this hospital. And he was so awakened. He had had an out-of-body experience. And the way he described it, I'll never forget it. His name was actually Professor John Wren Lewis. And if you're listening, I thank you, John Wren, for those telling us about those experiences. He said that he felt like the back of his head had been cut off and connected, fused with the black cosmos of the whole universe. And so that before he had been...
That's a good way of describing things.
Isn't it? Before he had been John Wren Lewis experiencing the world or the universe, now he was the universe John Wren Lewising. Hmm. Isn't that amazing? He was the universe feeling what it was like to be this person called John Wren. And I guess, Douglas, maybe for you, all of a sudden, instead of being Douglas Newson, you were maybe the universe feeling out what it was like to be
human.
Doug Newson.
See, that makes a lot of sense. At that level, I believe there is a connection. Like an octopus has many arms. In many ways, we're just just one of the extensions.
Yes.
But there's still the overall octopus, and it's, you know.
Yes. But it's an amazing turnaround. It's almost like, how should I put it? You could say that, those visual illusions where, you know, you're looking at one picture and then all of a sudden you see the other picture?
Sure.
You know, it's a bit like that. You saw it all along, but all of a sudden everything changes and what was foreground becomes... What was background becomes foreground.
It's a level of awareness, just like is it Plato's story with the lights on the wall? You know, where they could only see the light reflecting a person, and that person had to stand behind him and shine a candle, but they can only see their reflection on the wall, so they saw themselves in 2D.
Oh, really? I haven't heard of that. Interesting.
It is all a level of awareness. At that level, it's a higher level of awareness.
My awareness became that, and my new belief was that the collective consciousness and the higher consciousnesses, the higher powers, are learning and evolving through the human experience. Their consciousness expands, the creator expands. That was my realization, that our interpretation and the meaning we give to the world and to the events outside of us that we perceive, we are evolving, so the universe is evolving.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have a belief system that's pantheist. Says that everything is connected and the universe is what you want to call God.
Yes, we're all one, and God is in all things and in us, and God created the universe, and God is the universe.
Right. I always couldn't understand what they thought. You had the God in the universe. And mathematics and simple things kind of give you the idea that you have to have something to create something. Therefore, you can't have nothing to create something. You have to actually have something. And then you can take that something, you can cut it up, and you can make two, and you can make pie, or you can make... Anyway, you had to have something. So with that idea in mind, well, you have God, and you have the universe. And I remember being a kid thinking, how's that, you know? Mathematically, though, you have to have something. So I thought, well, God must have used himself. That's the only, you know, because there you had something, and you could dice it up and make other things. Made more sense to me, I guess. So these little things that you learn, these footholds of understanding, maybe that opens a door to the idea of connectedness and love, because those higher principles for forgiveness, going inward, just talking to yourself, getting to know yourself on those levels, that's very rewarding.
It really is. That's where you develop your self-confidence and your self-worth, by going within and sorting those thoughts and feelings out and finding out what's true for you. And that's, we talk a lot about authentic self and genuine self and true self. And you only do that by doing that reflecting and really looking at things within yourself, things you don't like, and you know, really developing your beliefs and what you stand for.
So I guess there's so many different levels here as well. And obviously there's different levels of awakening, and, you know, we talked about, David, about, you know, looking within you and perhaps getting rid of or shedding the inauthentic self to become the authentic self. Mm. And then you go higher and to actually shed the so-called self, the illusion of self, to become the universe. What happens after that, though, guys? That's what I'd like to talk about, because I'd like to suggest, and I think you both agree with me, Doug and David, that once you get to that level of awakening where you can sense some connectedness with the universe, whether you have fireworks or whether you have it subtly, it brings with it two important principles. One is responsibility.
Central theme.
That's right. If you are the world and the world is you, then all of a sudden you're not just responsible for yourself. You might actually be responsible for the whole world. And secondly, the other thing we might not have time to discuss, but something that I've got an incredible passionate interest in, is how to awaken everybody.
The Great Awakening.
If everyone was awakened, hell, we might stand a chance.
Would be unbelievable.
With us.
Sorry?
Yeah, I say that's almost unbelievable to think in terms that everybody could be awakened, like the 100th monkey theory. Yeah. You know, the dynamic. You think, you know, if maybe we reach a certain percentage, it just goes blammo. Who knows?
Doug, for our listeners, that's actually something I want to bring up. Tell our listeners about the 100th monkey theory. I think that's fantastic. It's so interesting.
I'd love to hear it.
Hello, Doug?
Yes, I believe it was just a particular species of monkey that was washing its yams, and it did. One young monkey took it down to the water and washed it, and the rest followed. And, you know, when they reached, they say, I don't know, 99 monkeys or whatever. All the monkeys anywhere across, you could take them across the ocean. They never even saw those monkeys, and these monkeys were all washing their yams. Now, that's just an odd thing to occur when monkeys don't, you know, aren't with the other monkeys who just learned how to do that. When a certain critical number was reached, then all of them were doing it.
That's so interesting. Leonard and I were talking about that just last night, I believe.
That's
we were talking about one of my biggest theories about consciousness is panpsychism, the philosophy of panpsychism, that consciousness exists within all things, animate, inanimate, all things have thoughts and feelings. And so if we are learning, then the entire collective consciousness, the global consciousness of humanity, is also learning through us. The universe is learning through us, as we said. So if we are becoming more enlightened and evolving and becoming experiencing spiritual growth, then perhaps as our light expands, and I understand that light and dark are just interpretations, but in talking about expanding the light and the love, perhaps the entire collective consciousness will begin to catch on and also begin to awaken that way through this philosophy you're describing.
What an inspiring idea. I mean, I remember when I read about this recently, I was so excited. And, of course, there are other experiments that would suggest that you know, this is the case for other species. Something else that, you know, a lot of people talk about is the, you know, there is the idea of the collective unconscious in humans. And, of course, there's that experiment where, what was it? You had a certain number of people, quite a large number, doing crossword puzzles. And I think over a period of 10 hours or something like that. And the more that the people did these crossword puzzles, new people did it that had never seen, obviously the subjects, you know, that were doing the crossword puzzles had never seen these puzzles before. So imagine you had 1,000 people over a 10-hour period. Well, the people perhaps a group of 100 that was doing it for the last hour, and of course all these people would have been sort of, you know, of the same general intelligence and et cetera, they were able to do the crossword puzzle quicker, suggesting that a bit, and with mice and rats and other other animals, they've done similar experiments where if you have certain individuals of a species that learn perhaps a certain maze or learn a certain technique, after a certain period of time, other individuals are able to do the same trick or you know, whatever they have to learn quicker. Absolutely fascinating. And of course, Jung talked about the collective unconscious in humans. So we have this idea that in fact we are not individuals and we are, you know, somehow connected
on
some level.
We resonate out information.
You're so right.
It gets absorbed by others.
Mm.
Look at it this way. They're doing experiments with light where they float a light through a chicken with an egg in it towards a frog that's pregnant. And the light carries with it the end. They don't never touch. The animals never touch. But they can imbue the qualities of the chicken within the frog without them ever touching through light.
Sorry, Doug, can you say that again? If I heard you right, are you saying they changed a chicken inside its egg to a frog?
I think they're... don't get me wrong. I just hear these things where they utilize light.
What are you talking about? I read about this as
right.
well. DNA, apparently... The DNA does not just hold information about proteins. It's actually holding a whole lot of information, and by putting light onto DNA, you can somehow transform
information.
The information.
Sure. Or maybe you can transform it, but this was actually transmitting, wasn't it? Carrying the information from one animal into another.
Well, there is cellular memory. That's what cellular memory is. It carries. It holds our DNA. Holds information. It holds.
We're starting to learn fractals. The smaller you get, the more information you can have.
My theory is that the Akashic records.
The smaller you are, the smarter you are. How's that grab you? I mean, the smallest thing you are, you're the smartest of it all.
Yeah, a single atom holds the Akashic records. Every single atom in the universe holds the Akashic records. It's not the Akashic records is not a centralized location within the astral world.
Right, that's a sobering understanding, isn't it?
All information collected thus far in the infinite period of the universe. Not saying this correctly. We hold all of the information. Our higher powers and the infinite intelligence itself will give us the information we need as we need it to carry out our missions in this life and learn our lessons.
So we talked before, I talked about responsibility, and we talked about the possibility of awakening everybody or a large, you know, percentage of the planet. And it looks like there is evidence that this can be done. So what I'd like to pose now is, and something that I believe in fervently and passionately, and I think most spiritual communities are focusing on this nowadays, is the ability to awaken the planet before we destroy the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are, you know, spiritual communities that will gather together and meditate. I know that by the internet, which can be one of the most amazing tools we have had so far on the planet, people actually are holding various meditation sessions throughout the world at the same time.
That's right.
Because unbelievably, and I wouldn't have believed this 20 years ago, but now, you know, with all this information we have, it sounds like if people do get together and meditate at the same time, it looks like something might happen.
Sure. You're the energy around you will carry on the intention coming out of your head. You know, I always think that now. You are connected. Everything is connected. It's, you know, and it's flowing between us at all times. You know.
So we can have a great responsibility to try to intelligently and wisely do something in terms of connecting, raising the consciousness of the planet, and actually perhaps stopping a number of disasters happening before they happen. That is, if it's in the interests of the planet for humans to keep on surviving,
we are at the tipping point. It's
Most people have to go pretty far down the ladder before they think they're at bottom, and at that point, reach out to a level where you're... it was a guy who wasn't known to meditate. I thought that was just, you know, that wasn't my thing. I just didn't worry about something like that, and yet to get down and give myself a couple years of that, and long hours, I mean, I loved it. I mean, I could... sometimes it might take 35, 45 minutes before I could get to a state which was so inherently different. But it was just beautiful. I mean, the longer you meditate, the more you'll actually experience. And sometimes it takes a long time to get to those points, 2 and 3 hours.
So, Doug, are you saying that there are challenges and it's quite difficult to get to that point?
Not so much challenges as you letting go and recognize to propel yourself forward, you need emotion and intention, kind of emotion intention. I can't understand. In my meditations, I utilize the feeling of that occurring to resonate kind of frequency within my body where I could emote on a physical and an emotional level to that, you know, idea of it coming into my body or leaving my body. So I was, you know, using a lot of different things at once to really, and then you always took a little bit more, you felt more ecstasy in it, you kept on, keep going. There is a, you just keep going. I know that seems crazy, but you could do that for 2 or 3 hours, and by the time you get out of it, you won't believe what occurred, probably. Mm. But hours, you really got to take the time, and you might not get, you know. Things didn't occur for me for 2 years, and then just started to, everything weird started to occur.
Yeah. I mean, to have that, to accomplish that in 2-3 years, though, is pretty fantastic. I mean, you know, a lot of monks take years, you know, sitting on a hill to get that way. However, what I'm interested in is the possibility of this taking maybe just a few hours. And David and I have been reading up on things like Schumann resonance and other things, and I am fascinated by the ability, potentially, of technology to take an ordinary non-spiritual person to places they've never dreamed of in a few hours.
Guided meditation is a type of intentional meditation. I like that. That works very well. I've also found mindfulness works well, focusing on thoughts and feelings within yourself and external sensations. There are many ways to do it.
How long did it take for you, David?
It took me about 3 years, and it does take dedication. Okay. And meditation can be very simply just closing your eyes and relaxing and allowing yourself to let go and just going with it and being an observer of your thoughts and feelings and reflecting on those things. And yes, I hear what you're saying. I know we do want to find that
instant. Guess, guys, I don't know whether it's... whether humanity, it's good for the planet, for humanity to continue to exist. I'd like to give it a go. They say global warming is really going to start affecting us within 15, 20 years. What if we could find amazing technologies together with a clear-cut, well-planned spiritual terrorism onslaught, where we could awaken 80% of the planet's inhabitants? What if we could do that, guys?
I think that's going to require a joint effort between, 1, knowledge, 2, visual display, 3, hearing at the same time, all within perhaps a poetic brilliance. Let's say you're in a chamber, and the chamber has sound going around its natural structure in such a way as to create a symphony, and it does. It's just natural. It's just there, and everything around you is carved into beautiful words of poetry that are so sublime and so powerful. You're entranced both by the music, by the shape of the structure, by the knowledge that comes from the structure. So the visual side, the knowledge side, the hearing side.
Brilliant.
And maybe something like that, where somebody steps into that and moves from one end to the other, and by the time they're at the other end, they had an awakening.
So, So that would be called our enlightenment chamber.
That would be our catalyst.
We've just discovered the enlightenment chamber.
So maybe there is a way to activate this. You know what's interesting, Doug, in talking with you, over the last year, I've spoken with Muslims, I've spoken with Christians, and I've spoken with, last night we saw a Swami that, these things that you and I are speaking about now, these beliefs about going within and finding the truth within and true self and connectedness and oneness, this same truth, this generalized truth, exists within all religions. It seems as if we've all agreed on certain principles and certain theories about expanding consciousness and personal growth and spiritual evolution, all of these different things. And there seems to be sort of a generalized truth within all religions and all philosophies. And it seems like we can all come to this same spiritual understanding somehow. We can all find.
We already have. But again, now we're just going back to what we already know. In a way, in a sense, it's like we never really lived. There's a few people out there just split communities and split up countries, and they use that as kind of the seeds of, you know. I kind of feel that there is that understanding among us. We want that to be there. It is kind of an... We want to, you know, love. I think sure. There is a part. Now, there are people that probably... you can never reach them, you never get to them. And giving them an understanding like meditating or, you know, maybe a school where just, you know, half an hour every day, you're one of your classes with meditation. I always thought that would be interesting if you just had every school had to do an hour's worth of meditation. That was the first class of the day and that's it.
You know, in fact, Doug, that's been done. There's a school in America, I forget the name of it. Absolutely brilliant. They have... it's some sort of, I think it's a school where they use transcendental meditation. And what they do is in the beginning of the day and in the end of the day, everyone, students and teachers, have to meditate for a period of, I think it's 20 minutes or 30 minutes. This school takes all sorts of students, top students as well as students that are being kicked out of schools, that, you know, that behave poorly and that do poorly. The results, the academic results of these students is astounding. Mm-hmm. Not only the academic results, the emotional roundedness mm-hmm. is astounding.
I believe that.
And I'm talking not only about gifted students, I'm talking about students that have been, you know, given up on by the education system. They will also come to the school and achieve amazing results. When you look at the photos of the faces of these students, they actually look
brilliant,
enlightened. Yeah. They the eyes, they, it's like
it's lit up.
Yep, it's like they radiate out peace and love.
Sure.
Now, personally, one of my other, you know, pet passions is to introduce the idea of meditation and spiritual concepts within school systems worldwide, because think about what that could do for the next generation.
It's done amazing things for me, and it sounds like it has for you, Doug, and for Lana. Meditation is one method, and there are many forms of meditation, and I advocate that method, although I realize there are many other methods. But in doing meditation for myself, I not only did I connect with myself and with the universe, but I found that inner power, that personal power, that self-confidence, and I realized that the power is not in the world, it's not in the money. We all need money to get things that we need to live. But everything we need is contained within us. Once we find our integrity and we find our beliefs and values and what we stand for, we find our inner power and we find our inner strength. And that is what really propelled me and motivated me. And that's how I found my passion and I found my creativity. And I realized what manifesting reality is all about and what true power is all about. Not the power of domination and control and metal and machines and technology and financial systems and philosophies and religions. True power is within ourselves, and that was the outcome of my meditations over so many years.
That's a powerful lesson to learn. I think we already know that we can go into our body and control our heart rate. But they don't say, oh, you can control your heart rate. Yeah, you can. So go into your body. When you start getting to know your body, you can do that through meditation. It's almost like it will enhance whatever you do. Bottom line, you're a swimmer, okay, you'll be a better swimmer. Okay, if you're a book reader and you're searching for some research, well, you're not going to take it into meditation. You might not. You might explore it in different ways. But it will reward you in all of your life. And you can do it in a multitude of ways. I do agree with you. It's just the intention of spending time to know yourself. I mean, there are people that can do great feats. How about this one guy who can sit in the middle of the snow and it all around, melts around him? Or, you know, some of these crazy feats where one guy says, I can heal everything. He walks around the middle of Alaska with nothing on. He doesn't care. I mean, he doesn't get any problems with his body. And he says, everybody could learn to just do this, and you could heal yourself. You could learn to heal yourself. You could know your body so well. Yeah, it might be difficult. You're going to go through the paces. But, you know, soon you'll be so in touch with your body, you can do this. So it's almost like, yes, there's so much more you can do. Look, even when I had my Kundalini, I wonderfully got the opportunity to be shown higher level bits of information. I would say it's higher level because I can't really relate to it. I mean, I was shown language and why words are actually brilliant. I mean, suffixes, prefixes, they actually have a reason. And it goes right back to the beginning of the sound that you made, maybe, or in a, on a, like, a, ooh, oh. And you understood the words at that level. So that just, boom. At one time, I could see a million toothpicks all at once, like Rain Man. I mean, yep, you can see 1,000 pictures with the intensity. You can see one, you can see them all, and all register instant at the same time. I can't do that now. But at certain points in my meditation, things occurred. When you meditate a long time, things are going to occur, boy. Believe me, they're going to occur.
Power of the mind and how powerful the mind is. When I volunteered in hospice, I met a man. A very big, he looked very healthy, and I was observing him as he was walking up and down the halls, and I went up to him and I said, what's going on? And he said, I've come here they told me that I'm going to die in a day's time or in a couple of days, and the physicians, you know, told him this, and he said, but I'm not going to die. He said, I've got stage 4 cancer, and he was determined, and he was talking to himself, saying, I'm going to leave here. And I said, you are going to leave here, and the next time I come back here in a week, I hope that you're gone. And when I came back the following week, I walked in and the nurse said, he's getting ready to leave. And I walked in and there he was. And he said, you know, I've had stage 4 cancer for 8 years. And he said, and I'm determined that it's not going to defeat me and I'm not going to die. And he'd been to hospice to die several times in those 8 years, I believe. And I was amazed. And I told my father this, and his jaw dropped to the ground, and he said, that's impossible. And he said, that's impossible. And I said, no, I met this man, and they told him that he was going to die, and in his mind he determined that he was not, and his super mind took over his body and over those cellular consciousnesses and those body systems. And
yeah, you can change everything, your hormones, everything, your body can, there are things you can open up, yeah, absolutely, or gain awareness because somebody touches you on the shoulder, something touches you, maybe yourself, maybe all this knowledge just hits you all at once, but that you open up. And meditation is a great way to experience things like that, because you're not in your day-to-day life walking around doing the same stuff. You're never going to experience yourself in that way. You're never going to be able to experience what it's like to blow on the inside of your brain. On the right side, what's that feel?
Meditation is the same as, I'm a board-certified hypnotist and past life regressionist. And that's all related to meditation and going into alpha levels and theta levels and deeper levels of consciousness and subconsciousness. And that is where the power happens. That's where you connect with the psychic world, the spirit world, the astral world. That's where it all happens. That's where the magic happens.
And you can go unlimited
no
directions
for that. Yeah.
I mean, I guess that goes back to what we were talking about before about new findings with DNA. And the so-called junk DNA, in fact, represents really important information and frequencies, and the fact that, you know, by using music and sound, words, as you're talking about, Doug, you can actually change things. Absolutely amazing. A world is truly a magic world, truly a magic world. Once again, though, going back to how we can use this, not just to improve our lives, but to improve the lives of the whole of the earth, that's something that I'm very passionate about. And I guess I wonder how the spiritual community can become even more connected in order to very purposely change, reprogram, and raise the vibrations of the whole of the planet. That's something I'm very, very passionate about.
Well, maybe this area in the world, which has this beautiful structure and the sound that's coming through these structures and the great poetry, it's all about connectedness. So at the very end of it all, you get a greater awareness. You know, absolutely, just like a kundalini gives you, you're not alone anymore. You know, you know what I mean? Your empty heart goes. I mean, you don't have any more emptiness. That's the biggest question you'll ever want filled. Mm. Why don't I feel complete, or what's wrong? There's nothing in me that ever feels like that anymore.
No, really? Because so when you do meditate, you will feel that. Finally, you will feel yourself. You will find that self love, and you'll find that true right. worth yourself. You'll find that you have everything you need within yourself by going deep and doing that introspective process and that introspective self-examination, and just looking within yourself and getting in touch with yourself and those feelings.
Spend time in the mind and unwind. And even in the body. Just spend time with yourself in those unique ways. You know, there's no right way, there's no wrong way.
You
just will benefit from spending time in that classroom, probably more than any other classroom.
And then that will improve your relationships. And life is all about relationships. We do need each other because we learn from each other. And we are mirrors to each other. We're all teachers and students to each other. And by becoming best friends with ourselves, we will improve those relationships, and we will find that connectedness with each other. And these, our relationships will improve that way, because we will learn to forgive. Once we forgive ourselves, we will forgive others.
Right.
And we will find that our relationships are much more important than our beliefs and our philosophies and our religions. And we will rise above those things and accept that greater truth, that greater spiritual understanding, I believe.
I agree. Just like the universe in some way is evolving, so is the definition of something almighty, always evolving. Could there ever be a right or a wrong answer, really, in the scheme of things? But if you're going to meditate, simple things to do would be use light, imagine fog moving around you. Don't close your eyes, open your eyes, try to just imagine energy in the room that's moving to your will. And it might take 6 months of doing that all the time before you've convinced your mind, you've set neural pathways and they've adjusted, and now when you start doing that, my God, laser beam is starting to move around, you know. You're eventually going to be able to more fully appreciate your vision as you go into it, more and more and more and more and more and more. And it takes a while. I mean, to imagine, let's say, you and a light beam connected to everything. Or, you know, they always say, well, just imagine this line going up through your body and you see this golden, how do you get there? You know, and maybe you work with light. If you envision your connection with God on that level, that's a way. Or maybe a ball of light coming from the middle of you, like a baby being born in the middle of you, like a sun is just growing inside of you and you're the thermonuclear plant. Or maybe you want the feeling, add a little bit of energy to that. Imagine your head now vigorously just been massaged. Vigorously, it's just been massaged and it feels live. And all your brain, you've got all these branches flying up like electronic cords all over. And all this light is being pulled in from the sky, and they just keep slipping in there. And this energy is making your head buzz, and the light, and you can feel the sparks, and it gives you a buzz, and you just keep going into it, and you appreciate, and you go higher.
Imagination that way.
Gee,
meditation.
Doc, that's amazing.
Your creative imagination is the key to your psychic powers. I really believe that, and I fully allow myself to allow my creative imagination to take over when I'm within my meditations, and I just let go and observe those thoughts and observe those pictures and watch the messages that come to me through that creativity.
That's amazing. Well, what, maybe we should finish up doing a 5-minute meditation imagining just that, because Doug, what you've just given us is an amazing extra ingredient to meditation, where you actually use light and you use various visualizations to do that. Should we do a 5-minute meditation?
Sure. How can we do a 5-minute meditation, Doug? Do you have any music or any kind of guided something that you could put on, or could we just...
To be honest with you, I'd love to, but I'm going to actually run between stations as the other station calls on me, because they're coming to that point where they're going to be closing. So I don't know if it's possible for me without being interrupted at this point.
Might do then is we might thank you very much, Doug, for being on our show. What we might do now is we might do just what you've suggested, and we might do just a 3-4 minute meditation.
Sure.
So that's using all the visualizations you suggested.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that?
Think of yourself lying on a blanket of electricity, if you can imagine that, just electricity. Electricity, blank, but imagine energy. It's like floating up like a beautiful fog or a mist or bright energy, or it's just tantalizing your skin, and you're riding it. You can, and then you imagine the feeling of it. And if you give it your body feeling, if you associate a feeling with it, you can then amplify that feeling and the notion and amplify and amplify and amplify and amplify. I know that seems so crazy, but, you know, in different ways of meditating, it's really how far can you let go too? I mean, I wasn't trying to find the answer. I wanted the answer to come in. So it's not only, there's a real letting go process as you're amplifying the feeling. You're amplifying feeling, but you're letting go of what's coming in. It's kind of just, it's just coming in. There's no expectations on it. There's nothing. It's just, you know.
Wow. Do we have a time on this show to do, me and David can take our listeners through a 2-minute meditation?
I hope that I get a chance to listen to it, and I'm going to mute myself and listen.
All right. Okay, let's do it. So,
Do you need to go first before we do this, Doug, or can we?
This will be on and off. Their show usually has a guest come on now, and then they go for another half hour.
All right. Well, have we got another 2-3 minutes on this show?
You have as long as you want. There is no show after. Cool.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do that. What we're going to do, and if you'd like to join us, Doug, please do. If not, you've given us a lot of ideas.
Oh.
So we'll get all our listeners to close their eyes and to focus on going into a very peaceful place. Just first of all, focusing on the breath, allowing the breath to come and go. Letting go. Perhaps imagining yourself in a place that you love, perhaps the beach, or perhaps being by a waterfall, or in a beautiful forest, or in a meadow, whatever you like. Just letting go and focusing on the breath. Every time you breathe in and out, say the word relax in your mind's eye. Breathing in, breathing out, and relax. Breathing in, breathing out, and relax. And just allowing it to happen, allowing yourself to really enjoy this experience. Going deeper and deeper to a place deep within. Allowing the breath, allowing the life force to gently take yourself there. Focusing on the breath, going deeper and deeper. And as you do that, you might want to lie down or sit in a way that relaxes you. And you might want to focus on various muscle groups to make sure that the whole of your body is relaxed. You can start off with your hands, making a fist hard as you can, and then letting go. And just feeling your fingers and your hands warmly, gently resting. Then you might want to tighten the whole of your arms, tight as you can, and letting go and feeling your arms becoming warm and fluid and relaxed, letting go. Letting go and enjoying the experience. Then you might want to do the same thing with your feet, tensing your feet up into a little ball and letting go and allowing your feet to feel warm and heavy and at peace. Then you might want to tense the whole of your legs hard as you can, feeling those muscles tighten and then letting go and allowing the peace to flow through your legs into your feet. Then we're going to tense up your body, the muscles in your tummy, muscles in your back. Tense as hard as you can and let go. Feeling your body feel lighter, full of peace, feeling love throughout your body. Now we're going to tense up our shoulders and the back of our neck, hard as you can, and letting go and allowing the muscles of your neck and shoulders to feel warm and light. Gently going up to our face and head, screwing up all the muscles of your face and the back of your head, hard as you can, not worrying about wrinkles, and letting go, allowing your jaw to soften, allowing your forehead to soften, allowing your head to gently rest on your neck, feeling the connection throughout the whole of your body. From the tip of your head down to your toes. And once again, focusing on the breath and allowing the breath to come in, to come out, and just watching and observing the breath. Allowing the breath of life to go in and out. Just observing. Centering yourself very deeply, being at peace. Now what we're going to do in this meditation is we're going to make use of light and visualization. We may also make use of sound. I'd like to suggest that you hear the sound Om deep within your mind. Let it be low and gradually increase to background Om. Imagine the sound Om vibrating throughout your head, going down throughout your body, and then going out from your body to the molecules in the air around you, to the walls in the building room, to the trees around you, into the sea, filling the whole universe with a beautiful, transforming hum of sound. And now, as that sound gradually deepens, you imagine a light at the top of your head, a small sphere of golden light, gradually enlarging, moving like a vortex. It's alive, it's pulsing and it's vibrating The light is a golden white. It's the most amazing light you have ever seen. And it's centered just above your head. And then when it touches your head, it spreads down all your chakras, from your crown chakra, down throughout your body. All your chakras begin to pulse with an amazing golden light. And they pulse to the sound of the Om. And the light spreads throughout your body from those chakras till the whole of your body glows with an amazing, blazing, intense white light. A golden white light. So the whole of your body transforms into a radiant, light body. And at the same time, the sound of Om transcends everything else. Then you imagine the light growing and growing in intensity as your body radiates out that light in all directions with lightning-like streaks, touching all parts of the earth. And you feel your vibration raised with every second to a higher and higher vibration till you pulse with a light and a sound that is beyond anything you have ever dreamed of. The intensity is staggering. The light is blazing, it's exploding with love, with creativity, with sound, until you become the universe and the peace and the love and the being is the greatest, most beautiful, most profound experience you have ever had. Thank you everyone for joining us on this radio show.
Oh, wonderful.
We hope you enjoyed that.
That was the hypnosis of Dr. Lana Love. Very beautiful, very unexpected. We were talking about meditation and I thought, why don't we do a meditation?
Which is a great idea, David. Yeah, fantastic.
Great job. I loved it.
Please join us in 2 weeks' time.
Let's see. Right? Doug, are you still with us or have you
I'm still with you.
Okay. We came out of that hypnosis session suddenly.
It was very well done. Wonderful. Wonderful.
I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah, it's good that it's on. It's taped now. Look at that. Love About Radio.
It's a bit quick, and certainly it's a bit cruel to suddenly waken everyone from their enlightenment. But never mind, we can have a longer time next time. But look, Doug, thank you very much. We've talked about a lot of very interesting, inspiring things.
Yeah, we've got some insights here. Sure.
Wonderful insights. We look forward to having some really exciting guests next time that we have the show, which I think is in a fortnight's time. Is that right?
I'm not sure whether we're going weekly or bi-weekly.
I guess we'll have to find out.
We're sort of going
decide
with the flow, which is...
Well, we'll let you folks know.
Yeah.
And if anyone has any ideas about any other guests they'd like to have on the show, any topics they'd like to have us tackle, we'd certainly be very interested.
We do have some pretty interesting guests that have come forward that are interested in being on the show that we're trying to line up for future slots, so we'll see how that goes. Do you have anything, any final words for us, Doug, or anything else you'd like to say before we sign off?
Thank you very much for allowing me on your show, and to your wonderful audience, thank you all for listening to me talk and rant. I had a great time. I really did. I think you two are wonderful spirits, catalyst to great change in so many, and that's a beautiful thing to behold, and we're honored to have you on the network.
We were honored to have you on the show. It was really wonderful to hear hear your insights, and it's just great to have you in the spiritual community. I'm really grateful and appreciative to you for the connections I've made with some of the people I work with that have talk shows within your network, and you've contributed greatly to the global transformation, like I've said before, and I'm truly inspired by your work.
We think it's very important to honor people that are working behind the scenes. It's so important.
Yeah, it's important to hear your voice and listen to what you have to say. Your experiences are very valuable to us.
You've taken us on a very fascinating path. Thank you for sharing your intimate experiences, and thank you also for... Yeah, the suggestion of using light in meditation. So I'm very inspired, and I must say I'm never going to forget to have a shower in the morning and to focus on all these things, because you never know what might happen when you get out of the shower.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, thank you for sharing with us.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Okay, namaste.
Namaste to the party.
Light and love.
Yep. Love and peace profound, as the Rosicrucians would say.
Okay. Bye-bye now.